You and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've spent a number of weeks talking about the Sermon on the Mount, and which is one of Jesus' most famous set of instructions to his disciples. And he teaches about a lot of things in the sermon, and we certainly haven't covered them all. Among other things, Jesus talked about what blessings look like in God's upside-down world. And he encourages his disciples to engage with the world and to be salt and light, not to hide themselves away. And Jesus tells his disciples to even love their enemies. And now, Jesus closes with a set of warnings to his disciples, and including the warnings that we heard this morning, to beware of deception, and to beware also of self-deception. Seems that even disciples may have some trouble distinguishing among the truth. And I have to say, this touches a nerve for me. There's certainly been a lot of news talk recently about fake news, and there have certainly been some political accusations about that, which I'm not going to get into, but I would say that this idea of fake news is a much broader phenomenon, and I'd say that the worst offender has been the internet. Accountability on the internet is pretty close to non-existent. You can certainly find lots of great information there, but you have to be careful about it sometimes too. What we've been calling fake news isn't really a new phenomenon. I think it's been around a long time, and there are, in fact, a lot of ways that incorrect information gets passed around. I'm guessing that you remember the game of telephone. Luke and Gage, do you know the game of telephone? Yeah, you sit in a circle and you say something, you kind of whisper something into the other kid's ears, right? And then they turn and they whisper something to another kid. And then you get to the end of the circle, and the last one, what do? They stand up and they say what it was whispered into their ear. And then the first person says, well, no, this is what I really said. And then everybody laughs because it's so different, right? Something has gotten garbled between the ears of the first person and the mouth of the last person. You know, and sometimes you just can't hear what the other person says to you. And then sometimes you kind of forget a little bit as you're going on. Your words don't come out quite the same as the other person's words. But sometimes, and I bet Luke and Gage, I bet you don't do this, but I have to confess that I did this once upon a time, that sometimes I would, when I was playing telephone, I would kind of slur my words because I really wanted that end result to turn out very different because that was so much funnier. And that was the goal, wasn't it? To be funny, to have a good laugh. And so by the time, if I said something wrong, by the time it got to the end, of course it was going to be really different. Well, I don't know who taught me to play that game, and I don't know if it was another kid or somebody who said, well, let's just do this for fun, or maybe it could have been a teacher who wanted to make a point, maybe to say, you know, communication is tough. Communication is kind of fragile, and so much depends on us. And our willingness, our ability to pass on what we have heard accurately from one person to the next, to pass on the message faithfully, in fact. But that doesn't always happen that way, and sometimes incorrect information gets passed along just because we don't hear it correctly. Or maybe we jump to conclusions about what is being said, and sometimes it's false information. Just to begin with. Anybody here heard of the War of the Worlds broadcast? It was in 1938. It was a radio broadcast, a radio play, in fact, about Martians landing on a field in New Jersey. It was a play. It was produced by Orson Welles and broadcast on the radio, and it sounded a lot like the news. It sounded like people were telling something that was happening as it was happening. It apparently was not intended as a hoax. In fact, there was an announcement before the play began that this was a play, but a lot of listeners tuned in late. They missed it because they were listening to the end of another play, and they missed this disclaimer. And so as a result of this broadcast, this play about the Martians landing, there was widespread panic. And I went and I looked this up on the internet, because there is a lot of good information, after all, on the internet. And the history.com was the place that I found this. It said that perhaps as many as 1 million radio listeners believed that a real Martian invasion was underway. 1 million people thought that a Martian invasion was taking place. And in New Jersey, terrified civilians jammed highways seeking to escape the alien marauders. People begged the police for gas masks to save them from the toxic gases, and they asked electric companies to turn off the power so that the Martians wouldn't see their lights. And one woman apparently ran into a church in Indianapolis where there were evening services being held, and she yelled out, "New York has been destroyed. It's the end of the world. Go home and prepare to die." This was all because of a play. I mean, there was realistic acting, apparently, and sound effects. But Orson Welles didn't really intend people to think that it was happening. It was fiction. It wasn't intentionally false information, but the reaction that people had was just way over the top. There was havoc. So, sometimes things happen that we don't intend, and we've got a responsibility, I think, to check the information that we receive, first of all, and then especially to check it if we're going to pass it along. Make sure that our information isn't out of date or inaccurate or only part of the truth. And that means we sometimes need to do some work. As citizens, and especially as Christians, we can't afford to be cavalier about the truth. There was a Dayton Daily News article on Thursday, and it was written by someone from the Washington Centerville Public Library, and I thought it was really helpful. She talks about how we find out what is the truth. She says that their librarians are trained to find the truth by analyzing the source of the information, and that the librarians there teach citizens to do the same. I thought this was a very interesting little article. You can go look it up. As I said, this past Thursday. And the writer provides what she calls a credibility checklist that involves checking out who is the author of a particular piece of information, checking to see whether the information comes up in more than one news source. If it's only in one place but not in another, it's less likely to be true. And then whether a fact check bears up claims that are made in the story. So you might want to find out to check this article out and see if there's anything there that would be helpful for you. Because we can often find out the truth with a little bit of effort. But sometimes, something that gets in our way is when we deceive ourselves. When we believe what we want to believe, we want to believe that that's a bird and not a cat, regardless of any evidence to the contrary. And this kind of self-deception, I think, is maybe even more of a problem than deception by others. At least we can be on our guard against fake news, but it's really kind of hard to be aware of the ways that we fool ourselves. In the passage today, Jesus says, beware of false prophets with false information. But he goes on to tell about people who believe that they prophesy in the Lord's name but don't do God's will. They are deceiving themselves, he says. They're deceiving themselves that their words are more important than their actions, than their fruit. So how do we stop ourselves from fooling ourselves? That's even harder. And here's another reference that I want to give you, another possible way of helping this out. There's some authors called Chip and Dan Heath who are brothers, and they've written a number of books about ways that we behave, and one of them is about how we make decisions. And apparently, when people make decisions, whether it's who to hire or what car to buy, apparently we're pretty good at fooling ourselves, that we have these biases, and that we too often, the information that we collect is actually skewed, that it's self-serving, that we don't do enough to reality check our assumptions. Instead, we just go with what we already think is true. And so if you already think that a Honda Civic is a great car, you're likely to assume that all Honda Civics from now on are going to be a great car without doing any fact-checking. Jesus warns about the danger of false prophets because they present a danger of leading us away from the truth. And when Jesus tells us not to fool ourselves, we shouldn't assume that we are any better than those false prophets. We're not better than we actually are. We're not smarter than we actually are or wiser. It is our fruits and our actions that actually reveal who we are. We may turn out to be false prophets ourselves if we don't look out. But a disciple of Jesus Christ is called to a special way of life. The disciple is called to take the hard road. We're called to travel a road that often has obstacles on it, created by those who throw them in our paths, false prophets. And sometimes we do run that risk of being false prophets ourselves. And so we've got to look at the fruits of our own actions. What decisions have we made that might be really the path of least resistance? What inconsistencies are there between the things that we believe are true about ourselves and the facts about how we live? What are the fruits of our lives? There's going to be always truth, and there's always going to be some things that are untrue that we encounter, and we can't always know whether the information we find in the world is correct. I may trust the person who speaks it to me. I may trust the newscaster. I may trust Lester Holt or Judy Woodruff or locally Cheryl McHenry, but I don't know if they're telling me the whole story. And so for something really important, I probably will have to double check the facts. Living in a world where there's this threat of fake news means I have to work harder, particularly if I'm going to share that information with others. And by the way, yes, I did check the internet for that story about the War of the Worlds because I didn't know the details. And I thought, you know, I better check it in two places because it might not be correct, the one I came up with, and it seemed to jibe between the two. So I hope I got things right there. But we are human, and we won't always get things right, even when we try. And I'm sure that that a history professor like Michael Sewer will tell you that the past is constantly being reviewed and studied. We learn new things about events from the past, and we have to reinterpret sometimes what we thought we knew. We have to put all of the news in perspective. And as for us right now, our job is to speak good news, the good news of Jesus Christ. And we trust that that will teach us and teach others wisdom. Trust that the good news of Jesus Christ will teach us to take what others say with a grain of salt, but to leave any judging about that up to God. We don't need to rush to judge others and charge them with lying intentionally, because much depends upon us and our clarity, our willingness to pass along the message of good news faithfully. Because Jesus Christ is the way and the truth and the life. We belong to him. And so let our fruits, the works of our lives, reflect that truth. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.